Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Tonight's topic is about a theory that has been explored throughout time, and it was Einstein's theory of space and time, and I'm going to get into it after I play a video. We have Don on the line, and Suzette will be calling in for sure, and I'm trying to get a hold of John. Thank you.
They differed by only a few hundred billionths of a second. And they compared it to one on the ground. Einstein predicted, the two clocks no longer agreed. They differed by only a few hundred billionths of a second, but very real proof of motion's effect on the passage of time. Einstein's theory has been tested again and again and again, and it all hangs together. It really forms the basis for the way we understand much of the way nature works.
These effects, which used to be considered sort of obscure and very small, are very in your face with today's technology.
With the discovery of this unexpected link between space and time, Einstein realized that the two could no longer be thought of as separate things. Instead, space and time are fused together in what came to be called space-time.
Einstein unified the idea of space with the idea of time into this four-dimensional structure called space-time.
And this fusion of space and time would lead Einstein to perhaps the most mind-bending realization of all, the sharp difference we see between past, present, and future may only be an illusion. In our day-to-day lives, we experience time as a continuous flow, but it can also be useful to think of time as a series of snapshots or moments. And everything that happens can be thought of as the unfolding of moment after moment. And if we picture all moments or snapshots lined up, every moment here on Earth, every moment of Earth orbiting the Sun, and every moment throughout the entire universe, we would see every event that has ever happened or will ever happen. Every location in space and each and every moment in time. From the birth of our universe at the Big Bang some 14 billion years ago, to the formation of stars in the Milky Way galaxy, to the creation of Earth 4.5 billion years ago, to the time of the dinosaurs, to events happening on Earth today, like me working in my office. Thinking about space-time like this led Einstein to overturn our everyday picture of past, present, and future. To get a feel for this, you have to think about the seemingly simple concept of now. For me, a list of things that I consider to be happening right now might include the tick of noon on my office clock, my cat just now jumping from the windowsill, things happening far away, like a pigeon in Venice taking flight at this very moment, a meteor just now hitting the moon, an explosion of a star at the far reaches of the universe. These and all other events that I think are happening at the same moment in time, but in different regions of our universe, make up what I intuitively think of as now. You can picture them as lying on a single slice of space-time. Let's call it a now slice. Common sense would say that you and I and everyone else will agree on what's happening or what exists right now. Moment after moment after moment. That is, we would all agree on what lies on a given now slice. But Einstein showed that, strangely, when you take motion into account, this common sense picture of time goes out the window. You see what I mean? Think of space-time as a loaf of bread. Einstein realized that just as there are different ways to cut a loaf of bread into individual slices, there are different ways to cut space-time into individual now slices. That is, because motion affects the passage of time, someone who's moving will have a different conception of what's happening right now. And so they'll cut the loaf into different now slices. There.
So I'm going to stop it because we have to get on with the show. It can only be an hour tonight. So first of all, the reason I chose this topic is because I was exposed to somebody who is highly into physics. So he told somebody recently, now this is somebody who does have a mental health condition, but he told someone recently that he believes George Washington is still alive and he's part of the Illuminati. Now, the reason he believes George Washington is still alive is because a decomposed body can be recomposed under the laws of physics. Then I began talking to someone at my second job today and other places about the conception of time, space, now, present, and future, and the past. And I started thinking about, after watching this video, the one component the humans lacked is the omnipresence of God. So, for example, I'm Jane in Duluth, Minnesota, and I might be taking a bath, but I can't see a Japanese woman across the globe farming or, you know, like watering a cherry tree. I can't see that because I don't have God's gift of omnipresence. But I can think about my grandma who died in 1989 like it was yesterday, and memories and thoughts can rotate in my head as if it happened yesterday. And what might happen like 3 days ago, I might not remember, but something significant I could remember right now. Whether it was like falling off a jungle gym at age 4 or winning a big race when I was 16 or things of that nature. Or remembered Kennedy being shot even though I was 3. So what I'm saying is that our concept of now and the present and the future and the past can all be different according to each person. And with that, I'm going to pull in Don. Hi, Don. I think I might have scared Suzette away with the topic.
You did. You got to understand, when you talk about the conservatives and evangelicals, they don't think. They don't want to think. And I'm not saying she's
no, but she knows a lot about her area. But why can't we explore a new topic? Like, why do we have to stay in a box?
My thing is that everybody knows time. That was my I was going to say that in a meme, but I was we all know what time is in our own minds. So everybody has an opportunity to have their own definition. And whether time is a continuum or just spatial periods, like the man said, I don't know. But all I know
like
is if, that
what he was doing is the conception. It looked like a grid, and then he placed up images of all the things we can perceive in that moment, like the cat jumping off the windowsill. Bird, pigeons trying to get food in Venice, you know, like, and then maybe some kind of event happening in Alaska. Then they were all lined up, and then they were sliced like a loaf of bread. So, let me ask you this question. Who started the measurement of time? Now, we know that the Romans created the 12-month calendar, but I think one of the reasons time was creative is so that mankind could predict weather. Like, will the weather be the same on March 12th as it was in March 12th, 1981? So
exactly.
We kind of created this measurement of time for our own survival so we could have more predictability. And like in Minnesota, where the seasons are harsh and extreme from summer to winter, that's helpful.
Well, that's where we get the deities and especially the astrology. Our astrology was the main thing that based what you just said, the repetition of seasons for farming and fishing.
Like
and
the Farmer's Almanac?
Exactly. And so astrology was your map or dictionary of time early on. But then I believe it was the Greeks, and then before that, I'm trying to remember what the...
So, like, one reason we measure time is to decide this person lived 85 years versus 100 years. This event happened in history, like, 200 years ago there was the Civil War, and then, like, 500 years ago, Europe had a war. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's more than one reason why we measure time.
Oh, no, time is one of the basic questions in, you know, the question of mankind. When you talk about why does man exist, you've got to include time in that formula to try to figure out how long he existed, how long he exists on Earth, and does he have afterlife? And so those
and,
are some
yeah,
of
the other thing is there's two forms of reality. The fact that we contend with all these things like nature on Earth and the fact that we all die. Now, in the
right.
Bible, it says a few people didn't die, like Elijah was resurrected after death and Jesus, of course. But, I mean, like, we all know we're going to die. So that's another reason to measure time, to know. Like, there is a couple places on the Internet where you can click, and it's they can predict how much time you have left to live. And they even break it down by years and hours.
Whatever.
Now, that's only if they're saying, like, there's a 55-year-old who has diabetes and they're in relatively average health. But if they're a 55-year-old with diabetes and poor health, then they might create the countdown to death faster.
I don't know if, I mean, you're putting a lot of credence in death and time. And
well, what I'm saying is that's the only thing that's measurable. Like, if I'm a little girl and I'm 5 years old and I'm starting kindergarten, what dependability do I have about my life? Like, what are the definitions? That I'm going to live X amount of years and I can accomplish this much, and even if I don't meet all my goals, I'm still going to die by age 80 or whatever.
Right, but see, you didn't die by 80 back then. You died by 40. And so,
right, and my dad lived till 84, but he had two major health problems. So he lived longer than expected.
I'm talking about a million years ago, honey. I'm talking about where we were able to start deducing a time with the stars. Now you've got, okay, for instance, you've got the capability of having a more advanced consciousness, super consciousness, and consciousness. What is it? Consciousness, super consciousness, and the
ultimate consciousness.
I guess so. The id, the ego, id.
What if one has a supernatural conscious? And I'll let you go first with your theory.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. We're advanced. We're advanced over our ancestors, predecessors, and our mind. So we have the potential of accessing more information than they used to, humans used to. So
right.
In natural powers, psychic powers, the ability to telepathically move things or enter in somebody else's mind, we possibly have those possibilities because our brain is the most amazing, it's the most complex thing in entire universe, and people don't understand that. So we are able to do things with practice that we didn't do before. We only use 6% of our brain, so we're not used. We've got 94% of the brain, so they've got plenty of room to grow. And I'm not saying anything bad about this bad advance of time in our brains, because I think that I've got the capability of remembering reincarnated lives, past lives where I've been reincarnated into certain a certain type of person.
I think, like, sometimes people have a, like, you connect to somebody in history. Like, I connect to Jim Morrison through his writings, even though he wasn't a Christian. And I've been able to predict, cards at a blackjack table.
Right.
And I have supernatural sensibilities. I'm an identical twin, and I've been able to predict events, like just with regular people I know, not like, you know, not like the World Trade Center or anything like that.
Right. No, we all have that capability if we focus, if we are able to concentrate, and meditate to bring out those powers. There is a specialty that each one of us has for the, not the ending of time, but just the accessibility of time and the different.
Now, I'm not bringing this topic up for my own advantage, but like, I'm not trying to use it as a leverage to say that I know this is going to happen or that, but Suzette's husband is on the line because she's not feeling well. So, and I want to remind show guests that it's 10:20 in Minnesota and I have to be to work by 11, so the show is only going to be 30 more minutes tonight. And I have another announcement about John later, and I think he might have been able to call in the show, but he had some technical issues going on today, so he probably can't.
Okay.
Hello from the 909. Is this Suzette's husband?
Hi, Jane. It's Suzette. No, Rob was coming. But it's
Hi,
me.
Suzette.
Hi.
Okay, we weren't sure who it was because I just got your second text.
Okay.
For your
no
next text. So, like, don't be intimidated by the topic if it's not always politics. Like, I've been exposed to somebody through one of my jobs who's really into physics theories, and
uh-huh.
I was going to try to apply Einstein's theory of invisible, I think it's called something like invisible time or space-time,
uh-huh.
that the past, present, and future all exist together, and what his concept was, we played a video, by the way, it was the concept like, it's kind of like along the lines as we never know for sure what's really going on, but this is the concept that there's many things happening at once right now in the universe. Like somebody in China is sleeping, someone in Poland is taking a shower, there's a bird migration somewhere across the world, and we have all these conceptions in our own mind of what's going on, but we could break each image down as they happen, like a panther running, and then we would put them on a grid module called space-time, and all these events could take place, but if we can envision them, then maybe it doesn't exist in the past. Like, all these things are merged together. So it's kind of a lofty, heavy-duty theory, but it's just something different to discuss, and then there's also groups and religions that predict things, like the Battle of Armageddon, so I was going to try to maybe bring that in. But we were just kind of loosely discussing it. Don, do you have anything to add to her so she could understand it better?
Well, not really. I mean, it's nothing to understand. It's about the fact that there may be different dimensions, and they may have different times. That's kind of what we're trying to understand or get your opinions on, Suzette. It's nothing that...
Okay, so if all these things are occurring at the same time, like different times of the world, but really it's one time zone, I guess you could put it, if you have to put it in a way, but yet they're occurring at the same time, but yet we're like another day.
Well, okay, let me put it this way. You know how we live in a high-techy world? Like recently you were looking for a job, so somebody might say, be at this location at 11 a.m. Now,
right.
Think about 100 years ago when, remember, in America, in the, I think it was the late 1800s or the early 1900s, they divided the time zones into four quadrants in the U.S. There was Eastern,
right.
Central, Mountain, and Pacific. Before that didn't exist. So
right.
The way that we think about things, and like just imagine if the airline industry didn't have the four time zones to deal with, you never know when you're arriving. But
right.
I was trying to tell John that our only real concept of time is that we live a certain length on the earth. We live under certain different seasons that are partially predictable. And
mm-hmm.
what is the necessity for having time measured so succinctly, except for to organize our day? And how come
right.
I can remember something my grandma did clearly in 1974, but I forget what color socks I wore yesterday? So we
yeah.
were just trying to explore the topic if Einstein had any relevance to this four-dimensional space-time theory.
Well, the memory of your 1974 would be something that would be in your mind, as far as that would be separate than time, because time, like people on the East Coast from California, as you said, it's a man-made time zone, but yet there would be in the past already, and I'm in the future,
mm-hmm.
and so the memory doesn't have anything to do with that. That would be two separate things in my mind, as far as what I can remember and what I can't remember vividly. But as far as the time-space conundrum that we're discussing, and the Middle Eastern time, you know, there may be tomorrow, so I would be in the past and they would be in the future. But yet it's going on at the same time. They're sleeping, I'm awake, you know, having dinner
cool.
or something. So you understand? I mean,
I've only listened to this on video, and I know someone recently who wrote a book with some of these premises. So I'm far from being an expert.
Okay, I just want to understand if I'm understanding the concept of what you're discussing. So yeah,
it's kind of too deep, and it does. I'm sure it ties into Einstein's theory of relativity, that time slows down or speeds up depending on how fast you move relative to something else. But let me just
uh-huh.
Read the first line out of it from an online resource. Just a second.
Okay.
I'm trying to get down to the time and space part. But you guys keep talking a minute while I look for it, okay?
I heard about time, like, being folded, like you can, like time folds into itself, and that's how we get the, 3 hour difference compared to West Coast time. So that time is folded into another time. So the concept of time travel is somehow possible through that folding of
yes,
time.
Yes, Mark, because that was mentioned in this page that I just brought up.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. Go ahead, if you can.
I guess we could also tie this into politics on some things, because, and I'll explain why in a minute after I read this definition, and it's coming. In physics, space-time is any mathematical model which fuses the three dimensions of space and the one dimension of time into a single four-dimension manifold. The fabric of space-time is a conceptual model combining the three dimensions of space with the fourth dimension of time. Space-time diagrams can be used to visualize relative effects, such as why different observers perceive differently where and when events occur. Until the 20th century, it was assumed that three-dimensional geometry of the universe in spatial expression was independent of time. The famous physicist Albert Einstein helped develop the idea of space-time as part of his theory of relativity. Prior to his pioneering work, scientists had two separate theories to explain physical phenomena. Isaac Newton's laws of physics describe the motion of massive objects, while James Maxwell's electromagnetic models explain the properties of light. However, in 1905, Einstein worked on a special relativity of two postulates. The laws of physics are invariant, aka identical, in inertial systems. Let's not skip over that for now. The speed of light is a vacuum and the same for all observers, regardless of motion of the light source. The logical consequence of taking these postulates together is an inseparable joining of four dimensions of space and time. So I think what he's doing is, if you had watched the video like I did, they had a rectangle they had a 3D rectangle diagram with little clocks in each segment, kind of like in math, you know, like where there's graphs like A4, B4, C4, and then there's length and width, and then all these things are tied together into some kind of fourth dimension. And what they were trying to explain is that it could look like a loaf of bread and you could slice it up and then divide the time, but if you were to take pictures of everything that's moving, like a panther running, then time and space could be divided into visual pictures. And then if you perceive it that way, then it's not really like a ticking clock. It's like everything that can be perceived from start to finish. So you could imagine like the Liberty Bell being created, or the Japanese explosions in World War II of the atom bomb. Like, you could go back and see and perceive everything. Now, I don't know how they tie that into the theory of, like, the bomb going off in 1945 and the Twin Towers falling in 2001. Like, there still was a gap of huge time between those events, just like you being born or your grandparents dying. So I was just trying to explore it. I didn't have a goal, and that's what I brought up. I talked to John today, and he's in a quagmire, and I don't know if he'll be joining the show, but it is his night off, so that's rather disappointing. But is there any headline news this week, including Israel that now decided on a ceasefire today? Is there anything that's pressing on your guys' mind? Because we only have 25 minutes of the show left.
I wanted to just talk about a little bit about the criminal justice things that are going into effect or trying to be passed, H.R. 1 and the voting rights bill, things like that. I'm in my legislative session.
Yeah, go ahead and do it, Don. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying that there's nobody. Conservative Party is really pushing to maintain the status quo. After all the things that have been said, you saw where Mike Pence's brother actually voted not to have the commission for the bipartisan commission for the January 6th uprising. And, you know, when
your
brother...
And what does Mike Pence's brother do? Is he a
congressman.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the House vote included his as a no vote for establishing the commission. So when you've got something like that, and you've got someone like Mitch McConnell, who is he's wavering on everything. We've got a problem with democracy here. This is a major, major problem that will destroy it.
It's mainly dragging one's feet, like they did with Merrick Garland when Obama was in office, right?
No, this is complete transparency in the fact that there's a segment of our society who does not want to give African Americans or people of color the benefit of the doubt, if you will, that we're a human being. And that's one of the things that we're...
And who initiated the legislation that Mike Pence's brother is rejecting?
It was for the establishment of... right now, the House went ahead and okayed establishment of a commission for January 6th to investigate January 6th. But now that it has gone through the House, it'll have to go through the Senate. And then once it goes through the Senate, if it does, because it's going to reach real bipartisan problems, then it goes to the president for his signature that it is a law that, or that it is
Don,
a commission that is being set up.
Don, one of the reasons why it's being rejected is because Nancy Pelosi gets to pick the commission that you're talking about. And when they're so that's not a bipartisan actual commission. She gets to pick the commission, the people on the commission. So,
right.
And the fact that there are other incidents where federal buildings were on fire, federal buildings were destruction, and why that wasn't called insurrection. If we're going to investigate federal insurrection, then those things need to be included, but they're not. And so when you have a bipartisan commission and that bipartisan commission decides who they're going to investigate for insurrection, and clearly they're not investigating all insurrection cases, only one in particular, that I could clearly see why they're rejecting it.
Right, well done.
Suzette, what did Don say that made you feel like you said it maybe in not a way that was slanted, or that was slanted?
The fact that he had brought into it something that had to do with black voting rights, which I don't know how in having the commission that's going to investigate January 6th would have to do with voting rights. That was kind of thrown in there.
Yeah, I was going to tell you guys in Minneapolis news, they moved the trial of the three other police officers to March of 2022. They added one third-degree murder charge, and the city council in Minneapolis is voting on what the future of the Minneapolis police are, like how they're going to be classified. So that's what's going on here right now. Now, other cities and states have decided not to tamper with the purpose of the police department, but some have stuck to their guns. But go ahead with your argument that you guys are putting forth.
You asked me about the slant. I think it's because he referred to Mike Pence and Mitch McConnell. Now, Mitch McConnell, he's a dirty dog. Everybody knows it. Republicans know it. Everybody. But that's not the reason why it was being rejected. Mitch McConnell just has his own agenda anyway, so no matter what, whatever he likes and doesn't like, he's going to reject or agree with. And Mike Pence's brother, I don't know about him, how he thinks or anything about him.
I just looked him up. He looks pretty standard.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't look like a rabble-rouser type.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't say so. I'm going with
you. Well, what do
you
guys
saying.
Think of Mitch McConnell? Like, he doesn't always go with party tradition or popularity. Like, what do you guys think his end game is, Mitch McConnell's?
His end game is his family. That's why he made the DAs and the Kentucky AG, because that's his state, suppress Breonna Taylor information, because the AG, who was a black guy, African-American.
The AG of Kentucky?
Yep, and he's married to Mitch McConnell's daughter. So this is all nepotism and a family situation where, like the mafia, you take care of your own first and everybody else will be damned. And that's exactly what happened with Breonna Taylor and the fact that the Attorney General said that there was no problem, you know, it was just a powerful homicide. That was their, that was what they declared. But, you know, my problem is that all police are scared. And when I say that, I mean every time that they are involved in either violence or officer-involved shootings and things like that, they plead that they feared for their lives. And my contention is that I don't want anyone protecting me who is scared for their lives at any point. I've been in emergency situations, and I know that if you are scared, you are going to fail. Something will happen.
Right.
I agree.
That I know that there was evidence suppressed in the Breonna Taylor case, but it started at the bottom too. The way the local law enforcement
it didn't. But there was no starting at the bottom. This cop shot wildly, and that more or less implicated everybody else as being a shooter. Now, you know, in the Breonna Taylor situation, I would say that there were only 8 shots fired, and in a police shooting, that is extremely unusual. So, you know, there was something absolutely wrong with the killing of another black person according to police protocol. And so, you know, a lot of the stuff is really outrageous. This new one, Alton Brown, he was executed, shot in the back, in the head. So, you know, we're looking at the cowards who are the police. And they are the first ones to acknowledge it. Now they're on trial, and they'll be on trial. And the DA already said it was justifiable. Again, this is not right, because it really he could have been using his car as a weapon, but you don't use your car as a weapon when you're driving away.
Yeah, I just found an article online that I think his name's Greg Pence, the brother. Yeah, he owns an antique mall in Edinburgh, Indiana, and he's been criticized because one of the stores has objects and images of Jim Crow era caricatures and stereotypes of blacks, with figures like biting down on watermelon and Mammy biscuits, depicting smiling black enslaved women and things of that nature.
They're on the car?
No, it's he owns an antique mall that doesn't look like a regular mall. It's more like a giant shopping warehouse.
Uh-huh.
But there's all kinds of stuff in this store. I mean, there's no theme. Like, there's things like cute things you put in your house, like fresh baked bread and fresh eggs, but among all those things are some, you know, like cardboard and wooden posters of black people from the slave era that aren't very flattering. So I don't know if people are trying to look back on that era and, like, think that all blacks were like that, you know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I'm just skimming the article.
Yeah. Oh, could be.
But
too,
all
maybe.
I'm saying is, but I'm not condemning the dude. I just found this article among things that I was looking for. It says,
during
the Jim Crow days, these everyday objects, banks, cookie jars, toys, games, postcards, and more served as propaganda. They were words of saying, these people are different from us. We don't want them in our neighborhood schools and churches. So it's just kind of a memorable image from that era that black people were depicted in not the most flattering way.
Oh. Okay.
You know, like eating watermelon with crooked teeth or whatever. You know,
sure.
Like making them look stupid, so to speak. So, anyway. But, you know, let's face it, there are a lot of traditional Americans Indiana has way more blacks traditionally than Minnesota, but now we imported hundreds of Somalians and Ethiopians and Liberians. And so, I mean, I wouldn't say hundreds, I'd say thousands. But Minnesota's population is only 5 or 6 million, so we're not a very big state, so to speak. But we are the 10th largest state in the country physically.
I wonder about the person that wrote the article that you had just had talked about the stuff that's in the store. I wonder if they forgot to mention, you know, as far as other things, posters and stuff like that. I guess if you want to say white people, because there are a lot of
we're like
pictures.
Positive and traditional, like they had no impact at all. Is that what you mean?
No. That also depicted, because back then during those days there weren't white people weren't there. You know, as far as they didn't go to the dentist, they were poor. You know, maybe pictures shown in their overalls with their family and, you know, type thing. So they would be considered unflattering as today.
Yeah, like just think of all those TV shows, like where those white men in the South make moonshine.
Yeah.
There's several of those. There's a lot of those TV shows on TV.
Mm-hmm. So
have you guys watched any of them?
But they didn't mention it, so.
No, but, you know, nowadays, and Don, I'm just bringing this up because, Don, you kind of started on that topic. Like, remember that cop who, she probably deserved the attention, but people were stalking her house. The female cop who shot instead of tased Dante, right? So, like,
right.
I think there's more sleuthing going on in America of people, like, observing things, especially, like, I heard on National Public Radio last week that all representatives that are in Washington on the federal level feel more threatened nowadays because they're getting more death threats, many different kinds of threats, and they feel that way. And then also I heard AOC, Ocasio-Cortez, was really targeting that Marjorie lady. Like, they just, a lot of people think she's trash and they won't leave her alone. So, like, they're putting the pressure on that lady who got elected, who's not unpopular among liberals. So even amongst the ranks of the people who are elected, there's pressure. So I see your point, Suzette.
Are you talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Yeah, like people hate her guts. So instead of trying to work with her or educate her, they just keep trying to take things away from her. Like, you know, like instead of trying to like maybe integrate her a little more and see if she could be redeemable, they're just going after her.
Yeah, I don't know. That's wrong. It could be anybody, you know, that's there in Washington that may be a little raw. But, I mean, that was the whole purpose of, you know, your people electing you to be there is because there's going to be all walks of life represented there in Congress. And so for people in Congress to gang up on her and not accept her, that's basically making it an exclusive club, and you don't act the way we do, so we don't like you, and we're going to do everything we can to squeeze you out. That's wrong. That's so wrong.
I think it's wrong, too, because, well, for one thing, I'm a believer, and unless people engages in direct hate speech, like, I think everyone deserves a chance. And Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota, who ran for president once, she wasn't that popular either, but she got elected through a conservative Christian wealthy district, and she actually was pretty smart. I mean, she wasn't that likable among certain crowds, but she was pretty brilliant. And she made her way to the top the same way Sarah Palin did, but, you know, she had some qualities, otherwise they wouldn't have made it that far.
Yeah, because they have to get elected by their people, so I don't know. Don?
And another conservative woman knocked out a long-term congressman named Colin Peterson here. He had been the U.S. Congressional Minnesota 7th District leader I mean, elected official for over 35 to 40 years, and a conservative woman Republican knocked him out of the field. Well, he's now in his, he's like 75 now, so he probably cares as far as his ego is concerned, but he probably doesn't care that he has to serve, you know, two more years. So anyways, I have to go to work in 5 minutes, and then you guys can wrap the show up, but just give me 5 seconds to get dressed, and then you and Don can talk a few minutes, and I'll be right back in about 60 seconds, okay? So someone keep talking, please.
You're missing Liz Cheney. She really made a difference right now for a small movement that is going in the Republican Party that is telling the truth. You know, the elections were a fraud. The elections were rigged. But just as many pretty much Republicans are being accused of fraud as Democrats. So this is, you know, the system is rigged. However, it didn't do what the conservatives that were the Trump conservatives said it did.
Okay, I don't understand. Liz Cheney said that elections were not rigged.
Yeah, they were rigged in some places, but they weren't. I mean, it wasn't as bad as 7 million votes that had to be overcome, or, you know, 3 or 4 states that had to be overcome. But there are inconsistencies in some places that I can possibly tell, but they're not as bad as they say they are. And conservatives had almost as many ballots that could be questionable as the Democrats. That's all I'm saying. That's enough.
I haven't heard anything definitive about that yet. I guess, being looked at. And so I don't know. But I know that whatever the outcome of what they discover, that doesn't mean Donald Trump is going to be put in office. The election is done and over, and, you know, we learn from that, and we learn how to fix so those things don't happen again. And so, there are some Republicans or conservatives thinking that once they find all the anomalies and discrepancies and fraud, or, you know, because they're all separate. Anomalies are different than discrepancies, and discrepancies and anomalies are different than fraud. Those things, if you have anomalies and discrepancies, they don't necessarily equal fraud. And so, you know, people have to learn to just discern the difference between all three of those, and the fact that it's not going to overturn the election. It's just going to bring them to the light so that we can fix them. And that's it, so that doesn't happen again. Because what's done is done, it's been certified, and as far as the Constitution goes, unfortunately, in my opinion, unfortunately, Joe Biden will serve out his four years term.
Yeah, and when you talk about the Secretaries of State, they control the state elections, and virtually all Secretaries of State in the country have said that the elections were fine and fair. And so that's something, and these Secretaries of State are predominantly Republican, or it's a pretty even match. So, you know, when you have the Republican Secretaries of State confirming the election, then you really should listen to them if you're a part of that party. But when you go around yelling,
not necessarily. You have Republicans that didn't want Donald Trump to get elected. You have that Lincoln Project group that was really working hard to not get Trump elected, and they were doing everything in their power to undermine him. And with the elections as well, not all Secretary of States that were Republican wanted to see Donald Trump elected for a second term. And that goes with both parties. You can have parties, and, you know, that it doesn't matter, Democrat Party, that they may not like somebody as well in their own party and don't want to see them elected. No work against them. So whatever was certified, you know, doesn't mean they were all legitimately certified, in my opinion. Again, because there were many that were working against him, and those were the rhinos, you know, that have their agenda. But, yeah, so it's hard to say. It's hard to say. All I can do is just remain open-minded, you know, because I can't say for sure. If I could, then I would, and I'd stick by what I know, but I don't know, so so I can't say.
Oh, no, it's good to admit sometimes that you don't know. Like me, I'm going through some stuff, and I don't know why it happened, but it's my fault initially, but, you know, it goes on, and you don't know what people do and what people think. So you're kind of, you know, we're up in the air. This is all an experiment. This is all something that we're just starting to learn what's going on. And, you know, this is, you know, where we really need to get together and put our heads together and brainstorm instead of working against each other like we've been doing. And I don't see an end to it, especially if 45 decides to run again. I don't even know what that's going to look like.
I'm on the air, you guys, for 5 more minutes while I drive to work.
All right.
So, I agree with what you're saying. I don't like that Lincoln Project or whatever other group. It's like there's a very high level of intolerance nowadays. And and like all of John's favorite groups are censored, as we've discussed numerous times on Facebook and Twitter. If you have any hashtags of QAnon or anything, you're not going to be heard. So.
And that's, you know, that's okay to have a major organization looking out for you, but when they espouse violence and the leaving out of the underserved, who make up, you know, 99% of America, then, you know, you really have a problem with being a leader, with being a politician who is supposed to help the populace who voted them in. That's
well, I don't want to bring up John on the air, but he was talking about how his Republican girlfriend is traditional, yet on the other hand, she doesn't obey him or submit, in the sense that if he were to be in a serious relationship with her, they would have to come to some agreement. But the fact of the matter is his belief system in the inevitability of Trump and the success of QAnon and their radical theories, which pretty much involved overthrowing the government, there's not a lot of people out here there that's going to conform to that ideology. Like, it's not realistic that you could think your partner is going to, they might agree with you on politics, but it's not going to translate into real life. Like, there's just
no way. That's more or less what I was saying.
And even you and Pat, you have a good marriage and you guys agree on everything politically, but you're still going to have differences of opinions regarding specifics.
Right. And you just said everything. And no, it's not everything. But, yeah, we do disagree on some specifics.
Right. I just think that, like, to tell you the truth, like, I'm real happy that I haven't listened to any. The only headline news that I've listened to in the last 3 weeks is on Israel and the Palestinian fringe. That the major fighting, I haven't listened to too much more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of a relief in a sense.
Yeah.
We have a Jewish a Democratic Party treasurer who just resigned over a statement from our leading party, which is a pro-Bernie Sanders agenda. And our new executive director said that, or that our new interpreter.
Our new
chairperson said that there were Israeli atrocities. So our treasurer So the Democratic Party resigned because he didn't. He agreed that.
They made some kind of public statement about the Israeli-Palestinian war.
Right, and it was a national news that the Israelis are trying to keep peace. So the treasurer resigned. He resigned. His new post.
I think part of it is because a lot of liberals look at that area that the Palestinians are being oppressed, and they don't look at the historical, traditional ties of America to Israel and how Israel has, they have an extreme line of defense because of how many times they've been attacked. So a lot of liberals look at Israel as being overkill with their defense system.
Right.
But I'm definitely an Israeli loyalist, but I don't like how the fact that the just basic Palestinians can't have access to clean water and food and they don't have mobility in their own country and how they're shut out. You know, they can't cross the border without being interrogated.
Well, we're talking also about Jerusalem, and, you know, they've been fighting that fight for centuries.
And the Jewish can't go into Palestine without being harassed, but the Palestinians that are in Jerusalem or Israel, they get to roam around free, and they're not harassed, and they're just living their lives. You know, otherwise, if they were being harassed, they'd go back home, but they're not.
Yep.
So, you know,
you're right, because there's a lot of Palestinians living in the northern part of the country, by Haifa, and I heard that they live, there's at least 14,000 of them there, and they live a relatively good life.
Yes.
Can I say one more thing about my theory? I have to go now. I had this theory, you know, like when I was studying Einstein's theory tonight on space and time, I was thinking that this war in Israel and Palestine, like, I was thinking of the concept of time and how all the blood relatives over the centuries are some kind of lineage to the fighters from 100 years ago, and how in time and space it couldn't be differentiated. It's just another generation fighting their blood sport of trying to make things even for the death of someone who was killed 20 years ago. So I was trying to concoct all these crazy-ass theories about time, space, and history. I know it doesn't make sense in my 30-second soundbite, but what I'm saying is that what the Christians believe that none of it's going to get resolved till the second coming of Christ, and then a remnant of the Jewish population will be redeemed to heaven. But maybe you guys could talk a few minutes of why you think the epicenter of this fighting in this region of the world is ongoing, because I have to go punch in now.
Okay. I'm going to let Bob take my spot because he knows more about this than I do. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Don. I'm going to mute myself.
All right. Well, no, this conflict has been going on before Palestine was Palestine in 1924. But, we are looking at land grabs. That's what this is pretty much about, of a country who has vowed over the centuries to destroy Israel and now, more recently, America. Palestine is not our friend in terms of the physicality and their desire to have us off the earth. But, you know, that is their opinion. And for them to have to succumb to a powerhouse like Israel, who is weaponized because of everyone in the region, who really virtually can't stand them. So we're talking about two powers that are colliding, and it's going to be a mess, especially if I believe it's Libya is also attacking Israel from the north right now. Libya or Lebanon, one of those two. I believe it may be Lebanon, is attacking the northern sections of Israel. So Israel could conceivably have a fight on its hands on two fronts, which would stress them thin, and they might need help if the war is extended. So they might be in trouble. They might need U.S. help. That's going to be ugly.
That's true. That could be. How are you doing tonight? This is Bob.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing? It's a mess right now. What's going on over there? And you could say that we have something to do with it. We're trying to build that up to have at both sides come out as deal like that. And you're right, we would have to come in there and save the day. Now, with the Palestinians, though, they have that area where they're living outside the Gaza Strip, and that's technically for Israel. And for them to constantly harass the Israelites about where they're living and everything, I hate to say that, you know, they can do their own, they can set up their own area over there, but they're just not allowed to be there. But they just migrated there.
Okay, well, I mean, in terms of the land grab, they're both grabbing land.
Well, not necessarily. Israel was given to them. Israel was given the land. They were, it was by the Rothschilds.
Okay, all right. And that includes the West Bank or the parts of the West Bank that were given to Palestine. I don't know much about the actual facts.
Well, my understanding that the Palestinians were in Israel, but they were chose to get out of Israel.
By whom?
By if I'm not mistaken. Well, that's the thing, because if I'm not mistaken, the Arab nations had owned the land, and then when Israel was allowed to come in there and take over, that's how the Palestinians got out. And they were kicked out in the outside skirts of everything, and there's no other country that wants them.
Right. And their land is so arid that if they move outside of where they're at,
If it's so bad for them, I think they, you know, modern technology can help them with that, with those areas of, like, I heard there's no water, they don't have water.
Their water is salt water, so they have to get desalination and reclamation plants. I believe that Dubai has a couple, and there are a couple around the area, but I don't know if they're privy to using those plants, Palestinians.
Oh,
but,
I see. Okay.
Yeah, but you know, the water issue is really bad there, and the arid land. So, you know, we're in a conundrum. They're in a conundrum right now where everything is bad. Israelis are trying. They need to expand. Their population is growing, and they're, you know, attracting new converts. The Palestinians like where they're living, and it just happens to be near the border. We're at the border of Israel, so we've got some issues there because of morals. If you want to kill somebody, you know, I'm a black man in America. I know how it feels. And if you want to kill somebody, it's not a good feeling for neighbors.
That's true. Well, yes, it's never that.
But, you know, that's only one problem. One of my concerns is the stock market and what it is going to do when it comes down to the financial burdens that we're going to be taking on as citizens when we finally have to start with this all of our CARES Act and PPP payments come due. When they come due, we're going to be in trouble. Our kids are going to be in trouble. But if a war comes into Israel and they're going to ask us to come, then to help them, then that's going to be a huge burden on us. If we don't get out of completely out of Afghanistan, you know, there are a lot of things that are going on, and they're going to come to a head sooner than we think. Which is, you know, I'm not even mentioning China and the fact that Japan can't get out of its own way. You know, Hong Kong is now going to become a real China satellite. Who knows what's going on? And everyone's confused. Everyone has people talking in their ear about things that may involve misinformation or propaganda or whatever you might want to call it. So, you know, this is going to be an electric couple of years, 22 to 2024. So that election, we're going to see a lot of changes, including money spent on infrastructure, new jobs. We don't have any jobs, any workers for the jobs. It's really getting bad, and everyone's reopening. Nobody wants to give their employees that they had to lay off and fire their jobs back. They're in the bad. We're having a real problem with our casinos, and they won't get fired and laid off employees, so they're getting ready to strike. McDonald's getting ready to strike because they don't want to pay them $15 an hour everywhere. They're only going to pay 5% of the McDonald's that are the actual chain, and the franchises don't have to pay anything higher than what they're paying right now. So there's going to be a possible strike at McDonald's. You know, we've got things that we all have to be very aware about in the next couple of years.
And that's true. With McDonald's, though, I mean, if it would hurt the franchises, if anything, if they were supposed to unionize. I mean, that would be key. I was saying that if the franchises for McDonald's and the workers wanted to unionize, that would hurt them more.
Hurt who? McDonald's or the employees?
Yeah, McDonald's. Any fast food restaurant company, corporation, or I should say franchises, that would just kill it.
That's the whole problem, though. That's why we're in the situation that we're in the United States, is that the haves are getting more and the have-nots are getting less. So that's going to cause turmoil no matter what is going to hurt a corporation or not. Paying a little more money, getting more employee loyalty, offering promotions, you know, having those things are really, those are values. They don't cost, but they do have a value on them. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about getting people involved in the system instead of having the system take care of people. That's what we want. Yeah. We want people to work.
Yes, I hear you on that one. It's amazing where we're at right now. It got us by the balls. And there's so many people that are going along with it that just are enjoying it.
Absolutely. For almost free, and nothing comes free, and
I have a young kid that works with me right now, and he's just jazzed about all the stimulus money that he gets, and plus working and everything. I go, well, you know, you're not allowed to be working and getting this money.
No.
And you know, it doesn't matter to him. You know, he's only 20 years old, so more bang for his buck, I guess.
Well, when he gets out of prison, when he gets out of prison, he wants to be young.
Yeah.
You know, that's an advantage. But are you sure he's not working under the table?
Well, we get paid underneath the table.
Okay. We have to claim
at the end of the year.
He's an independent contractor.
Because we're independent contractors, so he doesn't realize.
So he has a 1099 that he has to fill out.
Yeah. No.
All right, so if he's an independent contractor, he might be able to do both, but he'll probably have to declare a certain percentage of his CARES monies. I don't know how that works, but he might have to declare a higher percentage. It might be the CARES, it might be the independent contractor, his job, or something like that, a combination of both.
We have a fourth caller from the 408, but I can't, I can bring this person in from my job, so I don't know who it is. Let's find out. Hi, this is Jane from Blog Talk Radio. Who is this?
Hi, Jane. This is Craig. How are you doing?
I'm good. Unfortunately, I'm the central host, but I'm at work. But we have Suzette, Don, and Suzette's husband on the air, so they can. Don, you're acting as the co-host, who's running the show, and they will explain to you what they're talking about. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for calling in. We have about an hour left. If you want to go that far, go ahead, guys.
Am I going to be able to talk?
Please.
I mean, am I going to be able to speak on the air, like live?
Yes,
you can talk. But you can talk, Don. You're in charge. Can you introduce what topic you were discussing?
Well, no. Craig is bringing his own topic. Obviously, go ahead, Craig.
Okay, well, go ahead, Craig. Keep talking.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the invitation to speak on what the topic that I'm talking about over what you're talking about. And I don't want to talk over you, but I just want to say that the spirit, is that what we're talking about, the spirit?
Sure.
Okay. Well, the spirit has freedom to move on individual people depending on who's open to the spirit. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So the spirit has already moved on me, and I don't want to interrupt what you're talking about, so I have consideration for the way that the spirit's moving. If in fact the spirit is moving in this situation, which is a given situation. Would you agree?
Yes.
I have no idea.
Okay. All right.
I'll get you.
Okay, let me just say it this way. The spirit sits on the seat of who you are. And since that's true, and you know it, then you are free to come to him when you make a mistake. And so how do we make mistakes when we're walking in the spirit? Well, sometimes we listen to things that are not true and they're wrong, and we pick up and we develop bad habits, which are a constant reminder of who you are in his love, which is an assault upon the existence of the love inside of your heart. Do you understand what I just said?
To a certain degree now, you talk about the spirit that of more wickedness?
No, I'm talking about the spirit of, I'm talking about the spirit of truth that sets you free so you can understand what I'm saying right now.
Yeah, well, right now we're trying to be receptive.
Okay,
to
are you trying to project your religious views on people? And
no.
Is this something that we can
no.
understand? Because
no, no.
I'm a Christian.
Okay.
It's not,
well, it's not like
but
it's,
everybody
no, not,
has their own everybody
yeah,
has
I understand.
Their own spiritual conception.
Yes, sir. And people do have their own perception of what they think, and I understand that. I'm talking about what's beyond what you think, because you know God says it has nothing to do with what you think. And if that's true, which it is, then when you spend time in His Word, then He changes what you think. And if that's true, which it is, then He changes what you say and what you do
exactly.
because of what He's doing, right?
And you said it earlier.
So,
that
are you?
If you have to
so
listen,
what I'm getting is, are you trying to witness to people about Jesus?
I'm not trying to do nothing. I'm just being myself.
James. He's just talking about.
Yeah, I'm just being myself.
Okay, that's fine. I just caught wind of it. I'm at work, and I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, that's cool. Bye,
and
that's
I
cool.
are you guys. I'm going back to work.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Amen to that, because God has us doing things that we need to be doing so that He is able to sustain us in what we're doing in our natural lives, because God's involved in the natural part of who we are as well as the spiritual part, which is more important than the natural.
So now you're admitting God anyway. This is the first time you've said God.
Yeah, God. I mean, Yahweh. Yeah, God.
Okay.
His word. Yeah.
All right, because I mean, for the most part, we're all pretty much Christians on this show. And our concepts of Christianity kind of are different, because some of us, like I do, quote the Old Testament along with the New.
Okay. That's okay.
A real Christian only believes in the New Testament on Christ.
Well, you should be able to see Christ in the Old Testament as well as the New. That's true, yes.
And then, you know, for the most part, though, you mentioned early on that a person has to listen. And I do all the time. Every step, almost every breath, I make sure that I'm doing
okay.
it outside of my head to know I'm doing it right. And that means
okay.
I have to listen to the Spirit. When,
yeah.
You know, all the time. I mean, going down a different street, you know, things like that, deja vu, those things you have to really concentrate on when it happens to listen to the Spirit talking to you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yes, you do.
I think I got it. Jane's last statement, when she was referring to the time and space and physics and all that stuff, I think that's maybe, hi Craig, I'm Suzette, I'm Rob's wife. Anyway,
I think
you caught that part of the conversation, hello. And so in a sense, it sounded spiritual. So I think maybe that's where initially we got off on the wrong foot, because your I don't know what you thought, what we were discussing or what Jane had talked about, but it all works. It all works.
Sorry, I apologize. I do apologize. Sometimes I jump in, or I don't know where I don't know exactly where I fit in. So I'm sorry. I do apologize, though. I'm sorry.
You're good. This is an open group.
Said,
that's what Jane likes to do. She likes to have open conversations and discussions.
Okay.
So she appreciates different opinions.
Well,
that's what I love about her.
Awesome.
We do have an intermittent co-host who is an atheist, but he's not on the show tonight. But everyone here pretty much understand. I totally understand what you're talking about. And,
okay.
But I think all our other co-hosts, except for Jane, the main one, kind of understands what you're saying.
That's okay. That's okay. That's all right. No worries. I'm sorry.
Well, now that we got that straight, anything else that anybody might have? Suzette, Bob, anything that you guys want to bring forth?
You know, can I say something real quick? Is that okay?
Go ahead.
I just want to appreciate what God's doing in you, you know, which is teaching you things that you didn't know before. And then when you open your mouth, when you speak about those things, I just want to say thank you, God, for the wisdom that you've given to your children to speak in love. And that's pretty much what I wanted to say. I don't know very much, but what I do know is that God is very good to his children. So, but thank you, though. I appreciate you that let me share.
Amen to that.
That's one of the things that I always talk about in terms of modern times. I had real issues with organized religion. And this is something that I learned to distrust as I was a journalist and a political science minor, but I was 3 credits away from being a theology and 3 away from being a philosophy, triple minor.
Yeah.
But as you learn that religion has 3 facets, war, ceremony, celebration, and prayer. So
yes.
If you look at a gist of the Bible, war is almost war, some kind of famine, pestilence is almost as in the Bible as much as prayer and celebration. So if it's in the Bible, it must have to be dealt with.
If I may get an answer from you guys, how do you feel about the Book of Enoch?
Well, that's wonderful. The Book of Enoch is wonderful. Thank you for bringing that up.
I just found out about it a couple of years ago about with the fallen angels and the fallen ones, and I had no idea about any of that, how that all took place.
The Book of Enoch is not in every Bible. The Protestant Lutherans don't have it. The Catholics have one book. The Lutherans don't.
That's okay.
But it's not the
Book
of Enoch. But when you're talking about the angels who lusted after the humans, that's in Genesis.
Yeah,
okay. We're talking about 100. There are supposed to be 121 books that are not in the Bible that were meant to be. So there are extensive writings that
we have to be
are
careful
in
what we listen to. Obviously, it's important that we listen to the right thing and not the wrong thing. And if we ever did listen to the wrong thing, well, the indwelling Holy Spirit would show us that we're not doing the right thing, and that would be the right thing for the Spirit to do, is to show us that when we're doing the wrong thing, so that we can see that what we're doing is not right, and then we can do the right thing because we're being shown. And
but a lot of people are misled, and I'll give you an example.
Okay.
My son is, they're not misled, but they're, what I would say is that they're non-tolerant of other peoples. So my son is a Liberian and half Scandinavian. So there's a remnant of our African family who are Hebrew Israelites that they believe that they're, when Noah's sons divided, Shep, Ham, and Jessup, that they're part of that tribe, and that's cool. And that tribe from Noah migrated to Western Africa, which is cool. The only problem with their religion is that they disclude other mainstream Christians as being
and other Jews, which are white Jews, as
That's
part
okay.
of the chosen people.
That's okay. It's okay.
Well, it's not okay because what they're doing
Listen.
Is they're trying to elevate themselves above
Listen.
The historical Jews.
Listen. Can you listen to me, please?
Yeah, I can for a few minutes, but I am at work.
Okay.
So, you're talking about God revealing things? Well, sometimes man misinterprets things.
That's okay. I just wanted to reiterate what God was talking about. Is that okay?
You don't have to keep asking if it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just say it, okay?
Okay. I'm sorry. Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 19. Do you know what that says?
No.
Well, take a look at Leviticus chapter 26, verse 19.
I can't do that now. I'm at work.
Okay. Well, Leviticus 26:19 is talking to Israel because Israel had pride lifted up into the heavenly realm. He says, I'll make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. He was speaking to Israel in the verse. Just like he was speaking about in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the old covenant. And the old covenant was Israel. If you don't understand what I just said, you're ignorant of the truth, and ignorance falls under...
Hey, first of all, this is my radio show, and I am a Bible scholar. The covenant with Israel stands, and when Jesus died for our sins on the cross, he opened up permanent salvation and eternal life to Gentiles, too. He didn't abandon the covenant with Israel.
No one's arguing
He morphed
that.
It into something better.
No one's
and
arguing
you cannot
that.
Stand here and tell me what I should know or what I don't know.
No one's arguing that.
It's okay to call my show and make suggestions. But you cannot tell me the way I should think. And Israel is still God's chosen people. And the whole centerpiece of the world in the last battle of Armageddon is going to be over Israel's survival.
You don't understand the word of God. You don't understand the word of God. Clear.
He's toast, you guys. I dropped him.
Oh, why?
Because I don't have time for people's bullshit at midnight. It's midnight
okay.
in Minnesota.
All right, too
because
bad.
He's... Okay, yes, Don yells at me when I cut people off, but I do it occasionally.
I understand that. I could see that happening, but...
You know, I don't like when people pontificate and they're intolerant.
Yeah.
And I'm probably one of those people right now.
Oh. Are you a Lutheran?
No, I'm a Lutheran / Southern Baptist / liberal.
No, you can't
so
be
try
that.
To figure
what,
me out.
No, that's what I myself is. I was once Lutheran, and then I changed faith and went to being a Baptist. That's funny.
And then I also accept people for who they are. In the Bible, it says that being gay is a sin and that you shouldn't go after your own flesh. But on a civil level, I'm not going to beat gay people up because I'm a Christian. Like, they're going to have all the rights to government that I do. But on a religious level, it is a sin according to the Bible. So, yes,
right.
I'm a very confusing individual, but I'm also tolerant because everybody in life struggles and everybody has struggles. And it's not my job to judge, it's God's job.
There you go. That's it. That's why you're supposed to be tolerant because it's his job, God's job, not ours.
But I don't, you guys, okay, I've had bad experiences with people calling the show, like the Sasquatch Society. Yeah. And other crazy-ass religious people. And since I'm at work and I can't really control the show because I have everything up on my phone right now. I just think that that guy was overreaching and I was done with him.
It's your show.
Yeah.
You can do what you want. He just didn't happen to work tonight. Yeah, you're good.
And he, you know, he had some nice things to say, and he kept reiterating that, you know, that we're all learning and God's blessed us with special knowledge of learning. And I like that part, but I don't like when he's telling me I'm wrong just because I don't see things the way he sees them.
Right.
But, you know, like I have Muslim friends and I have a ton of Jewish friends, and we're all people of the book. Like God allowed the Islamic people to flourish in the land, even though they're in enmity with the Jewish people because Abraham had a bastard child, and he was considered the illegitimate child. And then when his wife Sarah at age 90 gave birth to Isaac, he was the honored tribe of Israel. So that's why the Muslims and Jews are at odds. It's because the Ishmael, the child of Abraham had with the slave or with the servant, she was never accepted as the, you know, like into the lineage of the family as the chosen family. So that's why there's enmity between the Muslims and the Jews, because Muhammad, who came 6 centuries later, thought that Ishmael should have the birthright. Did you learn that in your Lutheran church, Bob?
To a certain degree, yeah, but it was mainly, you know, that we would see that Islamic is a wicked faith.
Yeah, like, see, as I've grown older, I don't see, for example, there's a lot of, you can perceive Islam and Christianity and Judaism as like a matrix of rightness and wrongness. But on the other hand, there's millions of Muslims around the world now, and God allowed them to flourish. So I don't see them as evil, because I have Muslim friends who pray on their knees 5 times a day, and I'm lucky if I pray once a week.
Well,
so,
that's true, but they're believing in a different God.
No, they believe in the same Abrahamic God. But they believe that they're the illegitimate child Ishmael, which is part of their biological lineage, he was the firstborn son, and he should have gotten the rights to the Abrahamic kingdom.
Well, not necessarily, because his mother committed adultery, is pretty much what Abraham done.
Yeah, I think her name was Hagar or something like that.
It was, exactly. And she provoked it to happen. And
well, sometimes the Bible's confusing, because David was one of the most honored men of God, but then he killed Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, just so he could make love to her.
And then God paid
him back by letting their child die. So, like, sometimes the Bible isn't all that. And then Moses killed somebody in the wilderness before he led the Israelites out of Egypt. So, you know, like, there's a lot of people in the Bible who made big mistakes before they became men of God.
True, but they were punished, though, too.
Right, and I, like I said, as I get older, I'm more like my friend John, who's on the air a lot, and Suzette knows him. He's very narrow. I hate to say it, but he's a good person, and he's very generous in our personal lives. But he has a very limited view of other religions and rightness and wrongness. Like, he thinks that China's gonna rule the world and take us over, and he has a lot of fear-based religious ideas. And I think that if people perceive the world from that angle, then they're not trusting God to take care of things, because there is going to be a battle of Armageddon. People will die, but they're not, it may, like in the Civil War, 600,000 people died. But God still had a hand in it. So if you live your whole life in fear, thinking like China's going to take over, or Joe Biden's part of the Illuminati and he's going to turn us all into demonic whatever, then you're living your whole life based on fear.
Yeah, or you're going to die from the COVID virus.
Or if you get the, if you take the shots, John believes that the Chinese have a tracker in the shot and they're going to know everything you do. Well, Google already knows everything I do, and they've already, like, if you watch that movie, The Social Dilemma, like, Google already knows everything I do.
That's true.
So who cares if it's the Chinese or Google? Now Bob probably thinks I'm, like, in very far-fetched.
No, you're good.
Yeah, well, Don, are you still? Do you still have a pulse, Don?
Sure, I do. Sure, yeah.
I want to tell you guys a funny footnote. Don and I met at the LA Times in 1987. We both worked there, and he was a salesperson, and I was in collections.
Oh wow!
But yeah, Don used to be a. He was a fun person. Well, you still are, Don. But you've gotten a little more vigilant as time goes on.
I've gotten, that's only about 40-plus, years.
We worked together in 87, so how many years ago was that? 30? About 34 years ago?
34 years, something like that. Something like that.
So, Jane, that was your voice on my answer machine that was asking for the $2 for every month, right?
No.
Oh, okay, good. Because I mean,
$2?
LA Times. When I got the LA Times, they kept begging me for my $2 to pay them up every month I got the paper, and I was like, I can't.
No, I was in collections.
No.
Like, I'll tell you what I did. Like, somebody would call in and want to place an ad. This was before the internet. So we had to go in the Moody reference book and see if the business had any legitimacy. Like, we checked 3 or 4 sources. Like if they were a high corporation or just like a cheesy used car auto lot. Then we would give them a credit line and my boss, Howard Wilson, would approve them or not. And then Don's department, Don made money selling ads, so he would call to the credit department to see how big their credit line was. And I had a fake name. I was Miss Mills. Don, what was your fake name?
Mr. Logan.
Oh, yeah. Don was Mr. Logan.
All right.
That's my maiden name.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Is that Logan?
Well, it was really fun working at the LA Times, and I knew people from all over the world. And then, well, Craig and I was married. We moved back to Wisconsin with our daughter, but Don, was it around 1993 that tons of people were laid off of the LA Times, like Claire, or 95?
I don't know. I left in 88.
Yeah, him and Pat moved to northern Nevada, but the LA Times had a giant mass layoff in the mid-90s, and a lot of my friends lost their jobs because of the internet.
I saw it coming. I was one of the first.
Really?
Yeah, I was I was going to be a 10-year, and they would have to. It was a whole big thing, but basically, I walked out. They weren't giving me my due. I was getting paid lower than almost everybody else for being in the top 6 every week in the entire corporation, and so I was. Passed over for a promotion, passed over for a raise, and I pitched several bitches about not getting an award that I deserved. I knew I did. So I did that the day of the awards. I introduced the
tie. That was the day you quit. You quit at an awards banquet.
At lunchtime, we have our quarterly awards banquet, and I just went home. And after that, it was all over. But
Well, yeah, you had a bad ending. I ended up moving to a consulting firm in 89. But I just wanted to ask you guys something because I have to go vacuum now at the halfway house. Do you guys want to end the show now or do you want to keep going for 15 more minutes?
I'm pretty showed out.
Same here. If that only be rude, yeah.
Well, can I ask you guys one last question? Do you think that guy was a little weird?
No.
No, I think that he and you just didn't see eye to eye. I don't think weirdness. I mean, he admitted several times that he was a little different. He didn't fit in. So I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, to me, he seemed nervous at first when he called in, like he didn't know the dynamic.
No, you're wrong again, Jane. He was combative because when you continued to talk during his introduction, he got a little perturbed, and you could hear it in his voice and what he said. So I don't think it was weird. I think he was actually coming at on the show with a little bit of either aggressive or just a tone that he had. And, you know, I don't know.
I think he had agenda setting in mind that he had a reason for calling the show. He was going to witness to us about his brand of religion. And that he was going to project it.
Well,
and
he
was just waiting for his opportune moment to do so.
He got his point across, and that's all we want.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I'm in the office at work, and I got to click the end episode button. So does anybody have any last words?
I'm good. And
no.
I have. Thank you for having me on your show.
I'll send you an LA Times subscription for Christmas.
I just want to say the spirit is in all of us.
Right.
What did you say, John?
The spirit is in all of us.
Yep, and according to my timetables, Jimmy Carter's going to be president next year. I'm just kidding. Okay.
But it's
that's
skipping over 2 years then.
Well, Bob's going to have to listen to the beginning of the episode to understand my joke, but
the time will jump or fall back or something.
Right. So I'm going to end the show with just a guitar solo, and thanks, everybody, for calling in, and I appreciate it, okay?
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having the show in every 2 weeks. No.
Yeah, we'll have
right.
it more frequently once I get on a normal schedule, okay?
Okay.
Thanks,
right,
guys.
Yeah.
I appreciate everyone. I really do. Okay, good night.
Good night.
Good night.